I will try to be out of here a little early this morning. I do want to make sure that you understand one thing before I really get to my message. Well, it's part of my message. It's the first part, and it's the part that I probably want you to remember of anything else that I say today. It is not how good or how bad a person is that determines whether they go to heaven or go to hell. Okay? It is not how good or how bad a person has been that determines whether they go to heaven or whether they go to hell. Now, it's important that you understand that, because I want to use some scripture this morning that ask a question, and then the question is in the Word of the Lord, but the answer is also in the Word of the Lord. Before I go to that, though, I better clarify my first statement there, and that what is going to make the difference is whether or not somewhere along the journey down here, the individual has heard and heeded the voice of the Lord, the Spirit of God, as He spoke unto their heart, and whether they allowed Him to become their Savior. It's that simple. I kiddingly said, and I had mentioned to you last Sunday that I was going to be fortunate enough to be up to the governor's prayer breakfast, and I was this week, and they had me down for three prayers instead of one. I was just thinking one, but I got up there and they had me down for three, but they didn't let me pray the last one. I don't feel I messed up on the second one. No. In all seriousness, I think I know what happened, and it was an oversight, which was perfectly fine. But I did want to include in my last prayer. And see, sometimes, you know, it isn't always best that we think through everything, because it doesn't always work out that way. But in my last prayer, I wanted, as an attention getter, to say to that body of people, because most of them were legislators, the Lord is not going to judge this legislative body. The Lord is not going to judge the Republicans or the Democrats or the Independents. He is not going to judge any of the governmental agencies which were there. He's not going to do that. But what He is going to do, He's going to judge every single one of us as an individual. You think about that. Now, I know that would have caused some people to say, oh, well, I think He will. No, I don't think He will. I think He's going to judge each individual. And each of us are accountable. Now, we may be involved with all of those different bodies and other bodies, but God is not even going to judge this church. He's going to judge every member of this church. And every person who's not a member of this church. Not on whether we held membership here or not, but how we have lived our lives as individuals. And we are accountable unto Him for our individual lives. Now, collectively, then we create a lot of these things. But when we stand up there before Him, He's not going to look at Kent Parson and say, Kent Parson, why did that church at Elkton do what it did or did not do? He's going to say, why did you do or not do what you did? Okay, now let's get to my message. Here's my text this morning, and it's in the form of a question. And it was asked by Abraham in the days of old, when he said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Will you destroy, speaking now to the Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And the Word of the Lord answers that for us. Now, there's probably not a single one of you here this morning who don't already know the answer to that. And you're going to say, well, I know he's not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. But let me tell you something that the Word also teaches, that many times we are not able to distinguish the righteous from the wicked. Probably the first example that I want to give to you this morning is one that would be fairly easy for us to be able to distinguish, and that we would have no problem with it. And if you go back over into the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, in the eighth verse, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We all know the story of Noah. We all know how that God came to him and spoke to him and said that he had looked down upon the earth and saw that the very wickedness of the earth, that the thoughts and the intents of man's heart were continually evil, and that he was going to destroy the earth. But the Bible says, and everything that was in it, but the Bible says that Noah found grace in God's eyes. And we all know that God spared Noah. Now, we need to think about this for a little. Abraham said, and let me set the scene there again maybe for why Abraham was asking that question of the Lord. The Lord had looked down and he had seen one of his servants, one of his children, by the name of Lot, who was a nephew to Abraham, and whom Abraham and Lot at one point in time, that they had accumulated so vast of herds that the land was not able to feed the flocks. And the Bible says there arose a division between the household of Abraham and of Lot. And Abraham went to Lot and he said unto Lot, he said, these things ought not to be, for we be brethren. And Abraham said to Lot, he said, now here's the situation. He said, we're going to have to separate for us to be able to have our herds to survive and for us to be able to survive. And I'm going to give you your choice. You look out across the land here, and if you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. Or if you choose the left, I will take the right. And you may remember, according to the word of the Lord, that Lot looked out across the plain and he saw a land that looked pleasant and was enjoyable and enticing to the eye. And he chose to go that direction. And that direction led to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham then took the other direction. And God blessed Abraham. Lot went down to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to jump back and forth here a couple of minutes. And I'm going to have to hurry because the clock's moving faster than I am. Maybe I can speed up a little bit here. Sometimes I can talk fairly fast if I have to. Didn't say less. I said fast. I promised last week I was going to try to talk less this year. So far, I've not been very successful at it. I'm way over my allocation. But anyway, I'm going to go back over to Noah, and that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord said, I'm going to destroy the earth and everything that is in it, but I'm going to spare you, and I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to make some preparation for that destruction that's going to come. God is still saying to people today, I'm going to destroy this earth one of these days. I'm going to destroy everything in it. And so you need to make preparation for that time whenever it comes, should you be here. And God gave Noah the specific instructions as to what he was to do. And Noah took and went out there then, and he began to build the ark. And as he built the ark, the Bible said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Leah's not here this morning, but I, and maybe she'll see this and say, well, he picked on me this morning. I'd pick on her if she was here, because Leah is always kidding me, and we're always talking about the Old Testament versus the New Testament and how that she doesn't like the old because it's so bloody. And I tell her sometimes we've got to have the old to get to the new, and sometimes we need the new to be able to understand the old. And you wouldn't know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness until you got over into the New Testament and find over there in the Word of the Lord where he was called a preacher of righteousness. So I know as he was out there at some point in time, he was doing some preaching. I'm convinced he was out there warning the people that destruction was going to come. He didn't understand all of this. We don't understand all of God's ways. We don't understand why God does things the way he does. And it's not ours to always question him. But Noah believed God, and he carried out the instructions that God was giving him, and he built this monstrosity out here that we call the ark. And when the time was right, God said unto Noah, he said, you go now and you take and go into the ark. You take your family with you, and you take the beasts of the field in with you, and you take them in two by twos. And they all went in, you know. And the Bible says then, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. Now listen, listen. And the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. You see, sometimes when we read the Word of the Lord, we miss some little things. Now see, that's just a portion of one verse, but it's critical. Because Noah didn't have the ability to shut the door. Had he had the ability to shut the door, he would have had the capability of opening the door. And I will assure you that once the waters begin to come and the people begin to come and pound upon the side of that ark and went in, Noah, being a righteous man of God, would have opened and let him in. It was not up to Noah. If I could, I'd have everybody saved and we wouldn't even be here this morning. Wouldn't need to be any reason for us to be here. If everybody was saved, we'd all be ready for heaven. But that's not the way it works. The Lord shut him in. The waters began to come. The destruction began to come upon the earth. And the waters continued to grow and to rise higher until the earth and everything that was in it was destroyed, excepting for Noah. Will the Lord destroy the righteous with the wicked? No. No. Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God spared him from the destruction that was going to come. Let me tell you something this morning. Every one of you is a child of God. There can be a lot of things happen in our lives. There are going to be some things that probably happen that we can't even imagine and anticipate. And some of the things that I find in the Word of the Lord are just almost beyond comprehension. But many of the things which are spoken of in the Word of the Lord, especially over in the end times, you and I are not going to experience. Because as Noah was taken into the ark of safety, and the Lord shut him in and protected him and lifted him up above that destruction that was going to come, so is the Lord going to take every one of his of us as his children before that final destruction begins to come. Yeah. Why do I say that? Because that's what's taught in his word in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, writing under great inspiration of the Spirit of God, says that there is an orderliness as to how this is all going to come to pass. He's going to come for those who are alive first. See, there's an orderliness to the resurrections. There's a period of time between the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the dead. Somebody will say, well, I only believe there's going to be one resurrection. Well, the Bible speaks of more than one resurrection, so I don't know what you can do with the rest of them. There's at least two. The Bible says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now, if I think that there's going to be a first resurrection, that implies there must be another one, at least a second one. Yeah, there is. The dead. You and I are not dead. We are alive. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are alive, and we're alive forevermore. Not this physical body, but the spiritual body. But let me tell you something. God's going to take care of both in His order, in His time. Now, let's get back over. So, let me sure that you understand. Noah then was shut into the ark, which God had prepared and told him to go out here and build it. But God had given him the instructions as to what to do and how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, the whole thing, just like He does us. God does not leave us in darkness or ignorance. And the Lord spared Noah and his household. It is but a few years later then that man goes right back to doing just what he was doing before that. God looked out and saw that the thoughts and the intents of man's heart were continually evil and said, I will destroy them. Until we're right back out here doing the same thing again. So Lot, whenever that Abraham says to him, you choose which way you want to go, went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And when Lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, he lived among the Sodomites and the Gomorrahites. And he was there and he tried to be like they were. He wanted to be accepted by those people. But the truth of the matter, he was not one of them. Sometimes we get this idea that we need to be like everybody else, and we want to be like everybody else, and we want to do what everybody else is doing, and we think that's the great thing. But the truth of the matter is, it is not always what's right. And old Lot goes down here. Y'all know this story. I mean, we all know what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, don't we? Yeah, we're adults. I don't have any children here this morning. But if I had children here, I'd still say the same thing, because our children need to know what was going on down there. And what was going on down there was wrong. It was sinful. It was not pleasing unto God. And so when Lot goes down here and he joins himself to those people and he goes out there and tries to present himself as one of them, he wants to be one of the good old boys with them, and he wants to participate in their illicit activities. And probably does, Ronnie. Will God destroy the righteous with the wicked? The Lord looks down again and he sees Sodom and Gomorrah and what's going on, and he says, I'm going down there and destroy those cities. Tells Abraham this. Abraham says, Lord, if I can go down there and find 50 righteous people, will you spare them? 50. Fix cities. Whole city. I'll look for 50. And the Lord says, if you can find 50 down there, I will spare them. Abraham says, how about, Lord, if I can find 45? You know, he's starting to have some second thoughts. I think probably that Abraham had an idea of the terribleness of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. I think I've told you all that when I first went to Nashville after leaving California and went back there to pastor the church, I said I had two strikes against me when I got there. First of all, they thought I was a northerner. And second, because I'd come out of California, they thought I'd come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I say that kiddingly, but the longer I was there, the more I think that it was realistic that that's really what they were saying. Anyway, Abraham negotiates with the Lord here, and from 50 to 45 to 40, and now he jumps 10. Abraham's getting less confidence about how many he's going to find, so he jumps from 40 down to 30, 45 down to 30, and from 30 down to 20, and from 20 down to 10. Lord, be patient with me. Lord, be understanding with me. And that's what I think most of us have to pray today is, Lord, you be patient with me. I don't deserve to even be able to talk to you. But I appreciate that you will listen and allow me to ask you. And Abraham says, Lord, if I can find 10 righteous people, will you spare them? And the Lord said, if you can find 10 people down there, I will spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angel goes away. And then they pay a visit to Lot. Well, I'm killing myself up here this morning. I've got to finish real quick. I'm about 3 minutes away from normal being out of here, and I started early. Anyway, the angel goes down to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he finds Lot, goes to his house. And Lot, you know, he wants to do, quote, the right thing. And so he recognizes that he's got some distinguished guests here, and he brings them into his house. And the men of the city hear there are some new men in the city. Let us keep that in mind. So they go to Lot's house and say, hey, send those men out to us. Send those men out here. We want them. I said, oh, no. They're guests in my house. But I will tell you what I will do. Listen, if you think for a second that God's people and saved people can't do some very onious things, you need to think again. Lot says to these men, he says, I'll tell you what, I have 2 daughters who have never known men. I will bring them out to you, and you do whatsoever you want to them. How many mamas and daddies do I have here this morning? Looking around, almost every one of you. How would you feel about taking your daughter or your son and saying, you know what? I don't want you to do anything to someone else here, but I'll give you my son or my daughter, and you do whatever you want to with them. Does that sound like a good, outstanding Christian? Not hardly. Not hardly. But Lot, he has steeped himself in sin because he wants to be like those Sodomites, and he wants to be one of them. And he's been out here doing what they've been doing. But he still is willing to sacrifice his daughters. They said, no. What's wrong with you, fella? We don't want your daughters. We want those men. What's wrong with us today, people, that we can't understand whenever we begin to talk about homosexuality and we talk about pervert behavior, that it isn't taught in the Word of the Lord? Because it is. And it's wrong. It's sinful. They take Lot then, the men of the city, and they say, who do you think you are that you come in here to tell us? See, they didn't accept him. He thought they had. He thought he had been accepted among them. But whenever the rubber met the road, they said, you're not one of us. You're not one of us. The angels caught him and brought him into the house. They protected him. They saved him. God's always been doing some good things for us. I guess I just will quit apologizing to you. I didn't get through on time. But I'm going to finish it. The angels grab Lot and they bring him back into the house. And after they've brought him into the house, they say unto him, go and get your people. He said, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy son? So he had some daughters that were out here in Sodom and Gomorrah, other than the 2. Because remember, the 2 had never known men. And so he got some sons-in-laws out here. Do you have any sons-in-laws or thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Will the Lord destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now I'm going to skip over. Y'all know this whole story. But there's one little part of a verse in here that I think probably The greatest percentage of you have forgotten. And it's not when his wife turns to a pillar of salt. Y'all know that part. But something happens before that. Came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad. This is the angels who bring Lot and his wife and his daughters out. Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither, is not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, this was the angel speaking, I have accepted thee concerning this also, that I will not over destroy this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. I cannot destroy this city until you're out of it. Think about that. The angel knew Lot was a righteous person, and the Lord is not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. Could not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot was out of the city. No matter how he had lived, no matter what he had done, he was still worth enough in the eyes of God that God said, until he's out of there, destruction is not going to come. Let me tell you this in closing. Get ready, Tracy and Karen, because I've only lied for 40 minutes now, I guess. But just remember this. Before the Lord sends that final destruction here upon the earth, he's going to send his angels again to gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. And every single one of those of his are going to escape the destruction that's going to come. It is not how good we have been or how bad we have been that's going to make the determination as to where we're going to be in that classification, but whether or not the Lord has redeemed our souls.